And welcome to the Monster Medina Show. Mondo the Monster Medina along with Ace Acosta. Our guest, because I don't want you to get upset. Our guest is the one and only a good friend of mine. When people ask me to describe Willy Barcena, of course, and we'll get into your history, bro. I like to describe you as my uncle. You know that the one uncle in the at your family party that always going to give you the good time. You know that, right, bro?
People have told me that. It's funny because
you're like the crazy Theo, bro.
We're in Vegas with my friend Byron Kennedy here.
I'm gonna connect
the story.
All right, go ahead.
The guy who owns the comedy club at the Stratosphere. His name's Matt, and he says the same thing. He always like, you know, he goes, "Dude, you just remind me of my uncle." Like, I always get that the old thing, bro.
Speaking of Byron Kennedy, Byron, how are you doing, brother? Welcome to you, El Paso.
Thank you, man. I'm good. Love El Paso.
Are you good? Yeah. Love how many times have you been to El Paso? First time or what?
No, it's my, I've been here 3 or 4 times. Only my second time doing the club, though, and, you know.
Well, let's talk about the club real quick before we move on to the other stuff that you've been doing. So, today's Friday. You got 2 shows tonight, two shows tomorrow.
Right. Right. 2 shows the, and then 1 on Sunday.
At the legendary comic strip.
Yeah, Bart Reed's.
Well, let's talk about it, bro. I mean, how you been? I mean, it's been a rough year for everybody. Bro, and, like, yeah. for somebody like me, for the stuff that we do, entertainment, like, it's been hard because we lost all that stuff. So, especially for somebody like you guys, that you guys travel usually around the country. I know, Willie, you do a lot of the cruise ships and stuff like that. What was it like for you, man?
It was rough, bro, because I guess I was irritable and hard to live with because me and my old lady, we split up.
What?
This COVID. A lot of people broke up.
Again?
Breaking news.
No. This is the 3rd time she leaves. I'm kind of used. It's like almost every 8 years.
You guys break up.
Yeah, she takes a break from me. But I don't blame her. I was kind of a douchey man to be around because I was irritable. Wasn't working. Wasn't making money. The bills were piling up.
Yeah.
So I was kind of dick, you know? So she left and... And it's like a country song because she even took the dog,
you know. She took my dog.
Yeah, she took it. And it's funny. I never. I know we have a cat, but I didn't really know we had a cat
until
and
the dog
when
left.
She left. No, because so she left, and it was just me and the cat, man. And I started like talking to him. You know, I felt like that movie with Tom Hanks when he's talking to the ball.
Oh, Wilson.
Because it felt like the cat was Wilson because I'd be like, it's just me and you. And then I don't know if cats are not like dogs, bro.
They don't care, bro.
You got to chase them. Yeah. And then they're clawing onto something. Stay here.
Yeah, they got that attitude.
Yeah, like, I was like, you love me, right?
Don't leave.
But no. Then she came back?
No, bro. Right now we're just it's weird, bro.
You guys, I mean, but this has been going on for years.
No. Years, bro.
No, I'm talking about like where you guys break up and they get back together.
Yeah. But like I said, this is 3rd time. So, no, we're good, bro.
You're good?
So that I'm trying to relate it to. That's how it was rough. But you know what? I went on the road. We're doing Vegas now. We're at bunch of comedians roll by, they say hi because, you know, there's like 100 casinos there, so a lot of comedy clubs and a lot of comics told me like, dude, during COVID, I broke up with my old lady.
Yeah.
A lot of them. I mean, I don't know if you guys.
Well, I think the people, what they found out is that now that you're really with this person 24/7, you're going to find out whether or not you're really compatible with this person or like if you can stand their asses, you know?
No, we're compatible, bro. Look. I just tell you, I can own my own flaws, bro.
Yeah.
And I know I was miserable to be around. Like I didn't even want to be around me, bro. I was like, man, you know, but you can't because it was me. you know, but I wanted to get rid of me.
And Byron, what was it like for you, man? I mean, how was this?
Oh, you were
this
going
past
nuts
year,
too, dude.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, everybody's going nuts, okay, you know. But
bro,
Byron, tell me, how are you going nuts, bro?
You know what, man? I don't know. It was weird because I had just I worked in the record business.
Yes.
Right? So I had a kind of a cool job as a record executive, right? And I decided to leave that job to come do this comedy thing.
And then everything shut down.
And I literally left my job a month before COVID
to do
comedy, which is amazing because in comedy, timing is everything.
Correct. Right?
So I'm like, this
correct.
Is a good sign.
Yeah.
This sucks. And then I just felt like I had no purpose, man. I just, like, just sat around, you know.
And he's got a great place, bro. His condo overlooks the ocean, man.
Oh, really?
You see the I was living in Nashville at the time.
Yeah, no, is that right? He came back.
Yeah,
and got that
but
place.
It was rough, man. Every day I put another knot in my noose. But I moved out of Tennessee before I finished it. I was just going to end it.
One of the things that amazed me that Willie told me right now, and so did Mark. What up, Mark? I see you, Mark.
What's up, Mark?
My man, Mark Munoz, is that I've known Willie for years, like, I mean, like 15 years, something like that.
Longer, bro.
Longer than that, you know. We go way back.
Yeah.
Anyways, since I used to work in the radio business, one of the things that we always thought was a dream, you know, because I used to do morning radio, things of that nature, is that for us to be able to do the show from home, you know. And I know now people, like, are able to do that because of the pandemic, because it kind of forced them to people work from home, but I heard you're the guy responsible that gave Willie that dream about 10, 12, was it 10 or 12 years ago?
About 15 years.
15 years ago that you actually, like,
hired me, bro,
for the radio.
Radio, and I was working out of my house.
At Sacramento.
Oh, man, I don't know. How long ago was that? Probably about 15 years ago.
Yeah, but you're the guy.
He hired and fired me.
But you're the guy that gave Willie, like, the dream job that he actually could do a morning show radio from his basement, set him up with sweet equipment.
Well, see, there wasn't a lot of people doing radio from their house back then.
No, you know, that's what I'm saying.
But what people don't understand is we built a studio in Willie's basement so that Willie could be to work on time.
Exactly.
I was still late.
No, bro.
It still didn't work. Still didn't work. He would just – he was in L.A.
Yeah.
Doing mornings up in Sacramento.
I remember that.
And we'd come back from the commercial break, and there'd be no Willie on the show. And
where would you go, bro?
Well,
bro, a lot of the technology would fail.
Man, bullshit. This is why I had to fire him.
Yeah. How long did you last, really?
3.5 years.
Bro. Really? Good for you, bro.
He was a beast. He had great
ratings. Oh, of course.
Great ratings.
I mean, of course.
When I was there, I was good, bro.
Yeah.
Good. But I had to be there.
Yeah.
But so he would... I'd be like, we'd come back from the break, Willie, there's no Willie, right? So after the show, I'd call Willie. He's like, bro, I don't know what happened, man. I think one of the wires keeps coming loose. So I would fly an engineer down.
Wow.
To just go look at the equipment. The engineer would fly back and be like, there's nothing wrong with it. I don't know what he's doing wrong. Unless he just doesn't know how to turn the mic on, there's nothing wrong. So it'd be cool for a couple of days, and then no Willie again. I'd fly an engineer back down, right? So finally, I told my boss, I'm going to fly down there. I've never seen this studio. I'm going to go check it out myself.
Yeah.
So I go to Willie's. He's like, oh, bro, come check out the studio, right? So I go down in the basement. It's all dark. And I see the mic bent over to a couch like this one with a pillow.
Nice.
A Mexican blanket.
And immediately I knew.
You're just falling asleep.
I would fall asleep because I would go party, bro.
But you're still doing comedy during the week too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, I would go to the Comedy Store or the Laugh. I'm going to go to the Laugh Factory, the Improv. And just, you know, comedian stuff. You know, you're up all night telling jokes. Get home at 1 or 2 in the morning.
And I'm assuming you're on the air at 6 a.m., right?
6 a.m. So what I would say is like, oh, man, I'm going to miss radio tomorrow. So I would sleep downstairs. So I would wake up, right, in like 4 hours. So I would turn it on, and I'd be like, hey, good morning, Sacramento. But laying down, you know, with a blanket around.
Yeah, because nobody can see you.
Yeah, and a pillow.
Yeah.
And then I would talk to the co-host because people would think we were in the same room.
Yeah.
Would be like, yeah, man. So, yeah, D-Lo, no, man, things happening. Things are going great. Or the Sacramento Kings lost today. Like, yeah, man, that sucks. And then and next thing I remember, bro, I would wake up and it'd be like 11. And I'd be like, oh, no.
And wait. As being in the producer seat for a lot of years, would the guy call you like in a panic? I'm assuming.
No, well, I couldn't hear it because I wouldn't pick up my phone. But then I would look at my phone and be all these messages from everybody, bro. And I'd panic, right? Like, oh, man, I'm going to lose my job. I'd call them up and go, hey, guys, this is pissing me off, man. All right? I don't know what kind of equipment you guys got down here, bro, but this Radio Shack bullshit is not working. All right, I'm tired of this, bro. You guys are making me look bad. You know, it's about my fans, man.
I'll talk to you guys later, man.
So
fix it.
So, Byron, what was it like when you had to, like, call Willie? Like, hey, bro, it's over, bro.
When I had to fire him?
Yeah.
Well, out of respect to Willie, because I always really liked
him. He fired everybody, bro.
Oh, you got rid of the whole show.
No, no. He ran six radio stations.
Yeah, of course.
But he had a reputation. He was cutthroat, bro.
Oh, like, you're the executioner, bro.
People were afraid of this guy.
So when you walked, you're the guy, when they walked in, you're like, oh, man, ya got pinche Byron, ya valimos madre.
But they started, like, doing stuff like, oh, I better be busy. Like,
yeah. Oh, everybody was afraid of him, dude. Bro, everybody was straightened up, bro. Like, yeah. It's almost like if the pimp walked in and all the hookers were out.
Better have my money.
Yeah.
So what was it like the day you had to?
I flew down there to fire him in person out of respect, right? Didn't go how I thought. I was like, man, this sucks.
You thought that he was going to be upset?
Yeah, and you know, usually, you know, there's two kind of firings, right? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
There are some people that you really enjoy firing. It's like, this person's an asshole.
Yeah.
They got to go. Yeah. They're letting the team down.
Of course.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
And then there's other people where it hurts. You don't really want to, but you have no choice.
Correct.
And so this one kept me up at night because, you know, Willie and I, we were friends before he worked for me.
Okay.
So I don't normally get friendly relationships with people that...
Yeah. He's come to the comedy club in Sacramento
when I worked
the Punchline.
Yeah. He'd
come and hang out, drink beers and stuff.
So I go down there, and I was like, man, this is going to end our friendship, whatever. Willie just put his head down, and he shook his head. He's like, I get it, bro. I deserve this. I saw it coming. And he's like, damn, you know, we were eating chips and salsa at a Mexican food restaurant in L.A. And he's like, so you want to go to the strip club?
So it wasn't your typical, what is it, we wish you well in your future endeavors.
Yeah, it was just like, strip club. Yeah, so we ended up at the strip club on the corporate card. And I almost got fired.
That's so you, bro.
No, typical. Man, it was, hey, he told me, Willie, man, it's a trip because when I fire people, they usually get mad or we don't have a friendship anymore. And I'm a comedian, you know, so
yeah,
I was just like, all right, just go back on the road.
And I'll be 100% honest with you, bro, like, you being on stage, that's your environment. That's where you belong.
I feel at home.
On stage. You're more comfortable.
But bro, I ain't gonna lie. The money this guy paid me.
Well, yeah, just
was
like
stupid. It's ridiculous, dude.
It's like I said. You had the dream job.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No. It was like, and then he gave me bonuses. I'll get like these bonuses out of nowhere.
Yeah, but you were earning it though, because I heard you had good ratings.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how I did that. You know,
I don't either.
I didn't know how I got good ratings. I was
still trying to.
Yeah. And then people, I wasn't a radio guy, bro. I was just myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, I would tell people on the radio I wasn't a radio guy.
Well, I think that's one of the things is that there's a lot of people out there, and Byron, you can attest to this since you've been in business forever, and you're the I'm just going to call you the executioner, bro, because that's what I picture, you know. He drops the hammer. You drop the hammer. There's people out there that, like, are in radio but are fake. That's not really how they are. And the audience gravitates to the people that are more genuine, more like themselves, you know, where they're just kind of like, you're on the radio, but it's not a big deal. You know, those are the people that, Byron, you can attest to. Those are the ones that people gravitate to. Those are the people that get the ratings, you know, because, well, hey, this guy seems like cool. Like, bro, I said, you're like my uncle. Like, no, you're like the drunk uncle at the party, so that's why everybody loves you, bro.
I would say things that would piss people off, because I remember this is one incident that you got mad at me, dude. I said, man, you know, women, I said something about women, right? And I said, women, I hate when women do this. I forgot what, such a long time ago, I forgot what I said. And then we got all kinds of phone calls from women, man. Our phones blew up. Tell that bastard, man, bro, so many women cussed me out. And I love the calls, and I would save them because I would use them for my promo.
Of course. You know? Of course.
But this, he goes, he was like, hey, man, I want to see you. He would open the door in the studio. He would, like, kick it open. This is how he's doing.
You mean at your house?
No, at the studio.
Okay.
So he would, like, kick it open. And he goes, hey, I want to talk to you after the show, right? I'd be like, all right, bro. And then everybody was like, oh, right? And then, then I go in his office and he goes, Willie, man, you know how many calls we're getting? You can't talk like that. If you're going to say women, say some women, not all of them. I go, all right, bro, all right. And the next day, I would say something about women. I'd be, some women, not all.
See, it's the trick of the trades right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what made you, Byron, want to go from that life to being a record executive to want to be on the road and want to be on stage and tell jokes?
I think I'm, I just didn't do enough therapy, maybe. I don't know. I have a lot of trauma that I need to get out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I always wanted to do comedy, to be honest. It was always my dream.
Yeah.
And I gravitated towards radio because it was a little safer. You know, I didn't have the courage to do comedy when I was younger. I really did. It was like,
bro,
it was terrifying when you start. Well, for me, not for everybody, but I was terrified of
being on stage,
doing comedy. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to, but I did. I just, I don't know. But then finally, one day I was just like, you know what? I'm tired of the corporate grind. Not getting any younger. This just might be my last chance to reinvent myself, and I'm not going to let fear dominate anymore. Like, it's just stupid to let fear hold you back. So
yeah,
I'm like,
exactly.
I'm just gonna go for it, man.
And yeah. I respect that, bro. Like 100%. I think that's beautiful, bro.
Yeah, he got off. He was just.
That takes some big balls to do, bro. Yeah. To realize that, like, I got this great job, I got this great life, I can fire people whenever I want, but I'd rather go on stage and have people judge me whether or not to see I'm funny or not. That's respectable. I respect that.
Okay, I got to tell you this.
All right.
He said, so he calls me and he goes, Willie, I want to get into comedy and I want to learn from you. He goes, you're the guy I want to learn from. I said, all right, you got it, bro. Let's go to this club. We're going to do some stand-up. I'm going to get you up there. So we go to this room in Long Beach, and I sign him up, right? And he's sitting there, and I go, hey, bro, I signed you up. You're going to go up right now. He got all mad.
We
he goes,
two different versions of this story. Right? I'll tell my version.
Let me hear Willie's version
bro,
first.
He goes like this. No, man, I didn't come here to go do stand-up. I go, bro, you told me you want to do stand-up. No, I told you I just came to look. I go, dude. I go, stop being a pussy, dude. Just get up there, you know? And he goes, you know what, Willie? I ain't going up there, man. I go, all right, whatever, dude. So I go, look, I'm going to take your spot. So the guy who runs the room is John. He goes, Willie, is Byron going up? I go, no, I'm going to go up for him, bro. And I go, and I told him, check this out, bro. I'm going to go up and just invent things on stage. It's just crazy ideas. I'm nothing. So he watches me, and I'm just like telling stuff, you know, just taking chances with jokes. What I want him to see. Like, I didn't give a shit about if they didn't like me or not.
Yeah.
So I get off stage and I go, look, bro, look, see, I was kind of bombed a little bit, but he goes, then we had some shots, I think, right? We had some shots.
The hell you say you had some shots?
Was this before going on there?
Before and after.
During too.
Yeah, before and after, during, everything. Okay, all time, bro. So all of a sudden out of nowhere, he goes, I want to go up. I could do it. I go, really? He goes, yeah, I could do this. So I go tell John, hey, John, put Byron up. He goes, all right. And he goes up there and he wasn't good.
Go ahead, you can say it.
No.
It wasn't great.
Bro, you have to experience what it's like to pick up a mic and get in front of people. Because if you've never done it before, it's
intimidating.
It's frightening.
To be in front of people.
Yeah, and that's to see him walk around, get some words out of his mouth, you know. And then, bro, after he got off stage, we celebrated as if he just got his HBO special. Bro, we were jumping up and down. We're like, celebrated. You did it, bro.
Hey, bro, but you broke your cherry, bro. That's all that mattered.
Yeah.
Man,
so, okay, now let me hear Byron's side of the story.
Yeah,
now.
It's amazing how two people can have completely different memories of the same moment in time that they experienced together. It's
what
so
do you
weird.
Remember?
So here's what happened, man. I said, we worked on some jokes at his house, right? And so he said, I got the place. I know the guy.
All right.
Let's go tonight. I was like, tonight? I was like, he goes, it's every Tuesday.
Open mic.
This club in Long Beach. Yeah.
It's not open mic, because open mic is like for people that are beginners. All the people that go to this club, no, check this out. All the people that go are established. They just go there to work out their material. Open mic is where new comedians go.
And you took Byron to his first time ever.
Yeah, but because of my connection, I was able to
get him on,
push him in.
Workout room.
Yeah.
So I said, cool, I'll go and watch, because I'm the type of guy, like, I need to take it in.
Yeah.
You know, maybe overthink it a little bit. but I want to watch it. And then I said, we'll come back next week and I'll go up. Like, I want to see how it all works, get comfortable with the idea, visualize
yourself on stage,
myself up there.
Yeah, and I'll be I see more, that.
You know what I mean? And then so he goes and signs me up.
See, I don't remember him not. I don't remember you saying next week.
So that maybe part he probably didn't hear me. He probably wasn't listening.
He said, "Let's go." Okay, let's go.
So then John comes up, the guy, the guy that runs the club, and he's like, "What's up, man? Your boy ready? He's up next."
I was like, just like
one of your, I was like, "You got one of your boys here, man?" Like, oh, sorry.
It's all good.
Who's here? Like you? I'm like, "Nah, Willie. I told you I'm not going up."
I didn't tell me like that. He got mad. Yeah, he didn't tell me all calm like that. He was like, "Willie, I told you."
I was like, I got pissed off. I'm like, "Bro, I'm not doing it, man. I told you I'm not doing it."
Yeah.
He's like, "Bro, you such a pussy, bro." So this part's fairly. He's like, "I'm gonna go up and do your time, do a couple of shots, and chill out." So he went up there and fell on the grenade for me, just improv'd it. And so I watched him do it, and that did help me. Like, okay, he went up there and just made shit up.
Yeah.
And this is a guy that I've seen destroy.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been on the Tonight Show multiple times. And he's,
couple Netflix specials.
It is what it is. And I'm watching him up there not care if he's getting laughs or not. And, like, you know, and it can be a hard room at times. Yeah. And so anyway, I'm like, well, if he can go up there and do that, be vulnerable like that, shit. So... did a couple of shots.
He got up there
and told a few stories. And
do you remember what your first joke was or how
you
really started?
Tell any jokes. I'm kind of a storyteller, but I was talking about my days in radio with him.
Well, let's be honest. Comedy is telling stories. Yeah. That's what it really is.
Well, I think the good comedians tell some good stories.
Yeah,
you know, but there's comedians that got one liners, but he likes telling stories, which is kind of, you know, I like that vibe.
Looking back, it wasn't great at all. It was bad.
No, he was looking at the ground. He was looking at the ground the whole time.
I was scared to death. I was scared to death.
See, and then the audience can sense that.
They can.
So they probably felt sorry for you. Let's be honest.
I had no confidence. But here's the thing. I didn't get any big laughs, but I got a couple of
little chuckles
that I could hear.
And that's all it took.
All it took.
Yep.
And
yep.
I knew.
You could do this.
Not only can I do it, but there's no turning back for me. This is all I want to do.
And then a month later, COVID.
And then, because then I started doing some open mics and stuff.
Bro, this is the crazy part.
It was a month later after I left my job.
He would fly in from Nashville. He would fly in from Nashville to do 5 minutes on a Tuesday and then fly back to Nashville.
That's what it takes.
5 minutes.
Because I could do that workout room in Long Beach where real comedians were working.
And you get noticed.
I was like, I can skip around the open mic thing. So I go to Nashville and do open mics, fly to Long Beach and get in on the real stage. Because of him, and then, you know...
He cut a lot of corners, bro.
Of course, because of you.
He got in front of the line fast, huh, bro?
And I think he earned it because he gave you your dream job 15 years ago, you know?
I taught him radio, and now he's teaching me comedy.
Trade-off.
He's paying me back for all of the that I gave him, trust me.
So what's it like for you now when you go on stage?
Oh, man, I can't wait to get up there now.
It's like a drug, right?
It's the best drug on earth.
It's like sex and alcohol
I've only tried doing stand-up, like, whenever I opened up for you when I was, like, the co-host of your shows and stuff like that. So I only do, like, maybe 5 minutes. But me being on stage, like, because I do stuff on stage.
Yeah, I see, bro. You're the monster.
But, like, when you know that you've got the crowd, like, in the palm of your hand, that's just, like an adrenaline rush that you guys can attest to that. Yeah. You know that everything, they're just hanging on your every word. I mean, that's kind of, we'll say, that's like the drug.
Well, here's where it's
being
crazy
on stage is like.
Here's what's crazy about stand-up, about what you just said. When you have that crowd, like, just roaring and roaring, if you stop to acknowledge what just happened, it goes, the magic goes away.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you got to just sit, not give, you can't care that they're dying. I mean, it's weird, but you can't sit there and admire your work. You
can't
because
off the gas,
like, you can't go like, "Wow, man, look, I'm killing."
Yeah, but
because
but
once you do that, then you know what I'm talking about, bro.
Because you're in the zone, and once you do that, you break the zone.
Yeah,
you know, basically.
Yeah, but after you're like,
Super Bowl winners right there, cheering it up. All right,
we call it the source. Yeah. Willie and I call it the source. Like, you're not even there. It's something happening through you. It's like when you're killing.
Yeah.
But when you're not connected to that source, it's weird. It's like you're up there trying to do it without
thinking about it,
without being plugged in. And but when you're plugged in, man, like things are happening that you're like,
well, that's awesome, bro. I look forward to watching you, bro, watching you on stage.
I put him through the grind. We work in Vegas.
I was about to ask. Well, let's talk about that. Like right now, it's one of the things I'm very happy for you, by the way, that you're doing a set at the
Stratosphere.
At the Stratosphere. Or they call it the Strat. Strat. It's basically like a residency for you,
A residency.
How many days a week are you doing?
Three. I do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And it's biweekly. We were doing it every week, but man, it's a grind. But here's what all comedians know. Every comedian knows the hardest place to do comedy in America.
Vegas.
Is Vegas, bro. The hardest club to do in America is the Strat.
Why?
Because the club, first of all, Vegas is hard because you got to understand, you when you go to a city, everybody's from that city, and you could just say, hey, what's up, El Paso? And they're like, whoa, what's up? In Vegas, you got Chicago, Cincinnati,
New York,
Hawaii, New York. So they're all like already in their own little shell. So that from the get go, man, you got this struggle of putting this group that's not a group, making them into a group, you know, making them feel comfortable to laugh. The room that we do at the Strat is a room that doesn't serve any food. You know, there's no waitresses. It's just a room. Get your drink. Sit down.
Do they have a bar in the room?
Be funny monkey. You know.
Do they have a bar in the room?
They have a bar, but it's a tiny, and it's just really old school, bro. Like,
or like everybody, like the guy that's opening is also taking the tickets and stuff that. Yeah. Okay. I see that.
Yeah, bro. And so they're not selling you like there's the furniture. There's nothing sexy about the place, bro. Nothing. It's black. The stage is black. There's a microphone, a spotlight. All right. Let's see what you can do. You know what I mean? And this dude, man, he like grind through it, man. He didn't quit. There's some times that he had some tough moments, but he was like, I was impressed with what he was able to do in Vegas because we've had five openers, like young comics, say, hey, man, you know, go with us, man. I'm going to help you out. You know, I want you to be better at your craft.
And telling Byron that?
No, we brought an opener.
Oh, okay.
Feature, I close, we bring an opener. Five of our openers quit, bro, because it's so tough. Like, they get no laughs.
Why? Because the crowd doesn't respond?
Well, I think I had a lot to do with it because if they, the crowd did not respond.
Plus, it's at midnight.
Yeah, it's a midnight show.
Oh, okay. That adds a lot to it.
You never know what you're gonna get.
Oh,
and then midnight. So what time? Vegas. What time do you go on then? Like at
by
one?
By one, bro.
Wow.
Yeah.
That adds like 1,000% to how tough that room is. Because I was thinking like maybe 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. It's something, but you're talking about a midnight.
Fun, those are fun. Yeah. We'll be there doing the 8 o'clock show. I think in about 2 months. Or next month, right?
Yeah.
We're going to do the 8 o'clock show. We got a week there.
Are they going to have tables for you there, bro? Like, are you going to decent? Are they going to have waitresses in that room or it's the same room?
No, it's still the same thing.
It's still an awesome place to be, though.
Yeah, I love that
club.
I love it, bro.
It may not sound like it, but yeah.
How long is this going to last? Like, how long do you have the contract for?
No, I don't have a contract. It's just week to week, bro.
So, like, you can get up and go, hey, I got to do a set, like, in New York whatever. Cool. Yeah, they're cool. That's awesome, dude. Yeah.
But
I like that all they sell is comedy, man.
It's basically cool. Like you want a beer, you want a shot, and comedy.
So at least they know what they're going for. Like, you're not like, oh, well, it's part of the package in the casino. Let's go see what these guys can do.
But this is why the comedians quit, bro, because I'm a dog, man. If a comedian goes up there and sucks, I do my first 10 minutes on how much that comedian sucks. You know? I'll be up there and I go, hey, guys, like, I'm going to make up a name, bro. Let's just say Dave, right? Let's say Dave ate the big one. I'll be up there. I go, hey, guys, give it up for Byron, right? They are just like, hey, Byron. I go, hey, how about Dave the opener? There, he sucked, though. I go, man, I was like, is he ever going to tell a joke? I go, man, was he telling jokes? Are we depressing? Because I was getting depressed just watching them. And the audience is dying. So that comedian is usually in the back of the room just fair taking game. It, bro. Yep.
And there's nothing he can do about
and
it.
And
he'll
never come back.
He's got to earn his stripes. That's why I look at it.
You already want to kill yourself when you leave the stage after bombing.
And you got this and asshole like adding on to it.
He's done it to me. It's happened to me.
He wanted to kick my ass one time, bro.
It happened to me.
He was having a bad set. And I wrote terrible. On a napkin, pick up your energy, right? So I told somebody to take it to him. So they took it to him, and he reads it in front of the audience. He opens up this napkin, closes, and goes, it's my friend Willie's telling me to take a shot. So he had okay set, bro.
Yeah.
So I go up there, and I get the napkin, and I go, I didn't tell him to take a shot. Look, guys, I told him, pick up your energy. I go, did you see his energy? And I was making fun of him.
He's up here asleep.
Yeah, up here like he's asleep. Man, he was like, you know, and I was mimicking him. Basically, you know, fun of him, right? And the audience is dying, dude. And then after I'm out there talking to people, are like, hey, that was funny.
He's all pissed off.
No, dude, he just walks up to me. And I don't know.
I thought we were friends, bro.
No, he goes, we're done. You know what? You can keep this comedy and everything, but I'm never going to see you again. The whole time he's walking back, he goes, have a good life, man. It was not, you know, whatever, man. I'll see you around when I see you. All right? Laters.
I was pissed.
I was like, wow. All right, bro. And then the next day.
I was really
pissed. Day, he texts me, hey, man, I think we should talk like adults, man.
What you should have done is have, like, send him over some Red Bull or Monster right there in front of his bed.
He'd been heckling me all week, though, man.
So it was a build-up.
Looking back, it made me a better comic.
Of course.
Because I don't get rattled by much. But he would send guys up to take the mic stand out of my hand in the middle of a... I'd be talking.
I got it.
One of his
bro,
beliefs.
He's Miyagi-ing you, bro. He's like Mr. Miyagi and Karate Kid. That's what he's doing.
You're in the middle of a bit, and some dude walks up and rips the mic out of your hand and puts it on the floor, and you're like, what was that?
Yeah. He's just being Miyagi. You don't understand his methods, but at the end of the day, you're like, oh, my God. Like, I'm learning so much.
I'm kind of a dick coach, bro.
Sending notes up, doing that, yelling things out from the back.
Hey, like, but that's because there's going to be hecklers, you know. He's just preparing you. I guess all the stuff that he's seen throughout. And let's talk about all the other guys you've taught. Like, a lot of guys. That's what people don't realize. Like, all the guys that you've, like helped grow up in this industry.
Well, look, bro, this is the way. When I started, it was only the black clubs. And white clubs. And then the only comedians working at the time when I started, the only ones I remember, bro, was Paul.
Yep.
Paul was at the Comedy Store. George was at the Improv. And the Laugh Factory would have Paul and George, like, kind of flip-flop. But other than that, bro, no other Latinos. So I would see these rooms, right, with all these white dudes, bro, at the Improv. And like, God damn. And they're all helping each other. And then... Then I do the black rooms in South Central, all the black comics helping each other. And I was like, you know what? I said, I'm going to take this idea to East L.A. So I walked into a bar hey, can I have a night here and I'll bring comedy? And they're like, comedy, you know, because back then there's only two, three Latino comedians. So I knew there was young comedians coming up because I was a young comic. So I got like 8 of us.
Yeah.
I said, hey, let's do comedy here like every Wednesday. And those are the guys that, you know,
of course.
The Gabriels and the Felipes and
all
these cats. So that's how I wanted like for us to help each other.
Yeah, of course.
And that's how that started.
And you're still doing it because I remember a couple years back, you're rolling through town having your show where you're bringing up the Land Comics.
But see, bro, you know, the thing about comedy, he trips out on this because he tells me, Willie, if I didn't see it, I wouldn't believe it. I'm not going to mention any names, bro.
No, of course.
But there's a young comedian that I was trying to, like, come on, bro. You got it in you. And we would drive. We would take, like, these five-hour drives, you know, and it was me, him, and the other comedian. And we would tell him, like, hey, bro, you, that's funny what you just said. Or do this or do that. And he would come on stage and do none of it, bro. He'd just eat it.
Really?
Right, bro? Yeah. And he would say, bro, I can't believe this guy doesn't take your advice. And after a while, bro, I'm not going to call him no more. There's a lot of those guys, bro.
Yeah, of course.
A lot of those guys, like...
You can't force them.
I've seen them fight Willie. A lot of these guys, like, just they don't listen to him. And I'm like, you have 35 years of knowledge and experience.
Correct. Yeah.
Trying to help you.
Yeah.
You should probably listen.
Miyagi.
Yeah, like this guy has a lot to offer, man. Like, he's giving me little nuggets that he probably thought wasn't even a big deal when he said it, and then it resonates with me in such a huge way because it's like something that might have taken him 15 years to figure out. He just gave it to me.
Yeah, giving you that knowledge, and that's something that's like you're always going to be grateful for. And like he doesn't like to like talk about it, you know, because I know how he is. You know, like we've known each other for 20 years, so. Yeah. He's very humble, yeah, you know.
Absolutely.
Even though, like, he's
all right, make me nervous now, babe. Someone give me a shot.
You're gonna start crying.
Give
wait.
Me a shot. Let's give me a beer.
Well, one of the things I want to talk about is that how hard is it to do comedy now? Because we live in a society now that everything's so politically correct, cancel culture, things of that. So how hard is it now, like, to like go up there on stage and do jokes? Or do you have to, when you go on stage, you don't care? Like, if somebody gets offended, they get offended because it's comedy.
Yeah.
But there's a fine line because of the way everything is right now.
That and everybody has their phone.
Everybody has their phone, yeah. Here it is, bro. For me, what I've done is talk about a certain topic that...
By the way, notice I got real serious in the room real quick.
Yeah, you know, you can talk about a certain topic, but you have to manipulate... You almost have to massage it before you can talk about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to do the psychology thing. Like, okay, I'm only referring about, you know, my wife. You know, my wife.
Okay.
Like, yeah, you know, not all women. Or this is how I feel. It might be wrong. But, you know, you got to do all these little key things. And then you're able to talk about it.
It's because you had the art of storytelling. You got other comedians that would just say whatever they want to say because it might be popular or whatnot. But... you have the experience to know how to ease it in.
Yeah,
those little disclaimers, though, you can have fun with them.
Yeah, the disclaimers is basically what they are, bro. But no, to me, I still talk about it.
What about you, Byron?
I talk about gay turtles. You know, my little disclaimer is I'm not making fun of gay people. Making fun of gay turtles.
Correct.
Which there's obviously a difference.
And they, you know what? I bet you there are gay turtles. Like if
there has to be.
There has, right? I'm just...
Have you heard them when they're like,
yeah,
that's what they sound like.
But I mean, I'm cool with gay
turtles. See, like right now.
You have a problem with gay turtles?
I have no problem with gay turtles. I got no problem with gay people.
Are you gay nothing. Turtle bashing right now, bro? I'm not I feel gay like turtle, you are a little bit.
No, I'm, by the way, we're pro gay, pro lesbian.
Pro gay turtle, too.
Pro gay turtles.
Like I said, it's harder nowadays, you know. That's why I think it's even more, I have even more respect for you, Byron, that you decided to get into this world because you knew exactly what you were getting into, right?
Yeah, man, no.
Wasn't on the job description.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. Look, I think that...
It's a cool job, make no mistake.
By nature, like... push the envelope and walked on the edge. Right?
Correct.
And so there's a line. There's a line now where maybe, you know, not that long ago, there was really no, like, say anything. But I think it makes it a little more fun to
push that button.
Yeah. I mean, there's a line again. There's like a, you know, we've gone back in time a little bit where people are, you know, things are offensive again.
Like, just,
I don't like it. I think cancel culture is insanity. And that's
so do I. But, so do I.
I kind of like that people are so easily offended.
Yeah, and it's amazing because it's never what you think is going to offend them. Oh, I'm going to say this, you're going to be offended. You can see something minor, and next thing you know, everybody's on your ass about it.
And then you know my, you know me for a long time, so you know that I like to talk about topics. When people told me, oh, man, okay, one of the reasons I talk about religion so much is because when I was a young comic, they would say, don't talk about that. The more you told me not to talk about it, the more I'm like, no, now you're going to make me talk about it, you know, or don't talk about it. Because back then, it was like the Latino comedians that were around would only talk about Latino things, you
correct.
Know, like George and Paul, right, which I love. You know, I love Paul. You know, George, I know him, he's all right. But Paul, I know he's a good dude, right?
Yeah, of course.
But they were both talking about a lot of Latino things, and I kind of wanted to...
you made your audience bigger because you just didn't make it about Latino stuff.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to talk about everything, bro. And that's why, you know, I think that's one of the reasons I got on The Tonight Show when I was a young comic so often, you know, because Jay saw me and he goes, man, this guy
can appeal to
everybody. You know, and I wasn't trying to... I wasn't trying to appeal to everybody. I just, okay, Paul has already been done. Paul's Paul. George has already been done. George is George. Why am I going to?
Yeah, why be the same thing?
I was trying
why
to
be version three?
Yeah, I wanted to have my own niche, you know, my own style. And so that's, I think, how I got that relationship with Leno, where I got on the Tonight Show, because, you know, Tonight Show was, you know, for the whole country.
Yeah, of course.
And anyway, so yeah, that's how I think I developed my own style.
See, but now it works even more in your favor, because you talk about like the Vegas show, that you don't know who the audience is going to be. You really don't know when you walk in, different people from different parts of the world, you know? So you just got to generalize and just talk about everything, I think.
No, bro, I'll tell you a story. I was, a story from the Tonight Show. I had a joke about Jewish people, and you know, Hollywood.
Oh,
Jewish,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
So I remember, They had seen the joke, because they got to approve your joke before, you know, 3 months before they had already seen it. They want to see the set that you're going to do on television. So the day of the show, I'm there, and I'm in the green room just sitting back, and the producer comes in. Somebody comes, I don't know who it was, and they're like, hey, you know that Jewish joke? Don't do it. And I was like, what? Okay, all right. I'll do it. So in my head, I took a joke out, and I got to connect these two.
You're adjusting on the fly.
Okay, I know how to fix that. And so check this out, bro, because it was a religious joke about Jewish people, and I talk about Jesus. And we're talking about walking the line, right? And then so I'm up there, and you're behind like this curtain, and you can hear what's going on, and you hear Jay goes, all right, man, you guys, we have a young comedian named Willie Barceno. You guys stay tuned. You know? And they go to commercial. And then the producer comes up to me, hey, you know that Jewish joke? Go ahead and do it. I'm like, oh, man.
So now you got to readjust.
Like, I know, but I didn't. I go, okay. So I do it anyways, man. But that's one of the things about you know, writing things that are, kind of might be on the edgy side, you know.
So who do you think made the call to say that, go ahead and put the Jewish joke in there?
I don't know who did it. I don't know why they did it. I don't know how that happened, bro, but they came back and they're like, go ahead, do it.
That sounds stressful.
Yeah.
That's stressing me out a little bit.
You gotta adapt, right? You can adapt.
You
remember when they had the last comic standing, but they knew ahead of time too, like all the jokes they were doing, right? Doing that contest, right?
Yeah.
Same thing, right?
Yeah. So I, you know what? I didn't know too much about the last comic standing, but a lot of those people were very successful. Bro.
Yeah.
So I came up with the generation before that. Yeah. I was a baby, bro, because I came out, my show, my version of that, bro, to tell you how old I am, is a show that they used to shoot in Florida with Ed McMahon. Remember that? Star Search.
You were on Star Search?
Star Search, bro.
You still have the video, bro?
No, but I beat, bro. But here's what I'm proud of, bro.
Who'd you beat?
Justin Timberlake?
I went up against a puppet, and I beat the puppet. Remember?
How many stars did you get, bro?
I got like 3.7 stars. Right?
I never knew this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was a kid, bro. I was like 24 years old, bro.
That's
Star
Search, right?
So then...
eat a puppet.
Yeah, and then the next guy, his name is Jeff Brown. He's a writer now. He headlines all over the country, but Jeff beat me on the next round, right? But good thing is, okay, if I'm gonna lose, he ended up winning the whole thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
So if I'm gonna lose, I lost to the guy who won the whole thing. But you sit there, and it's funny. You look at the audience, and they're like, you can hear everything, bro. You just stand there, and they go, Willie Barcena gets 2.7 stars, all right? And then Jeff Brown, 3.4 stars. And then you got to look at each other and shake hands. Remember that?
Yeah,
I do.
I didn't
want to shake his hand, bro, but you got to figure out, yeah, all right, bro, you walk away. But I remember I didn't want to shake his hand. I was like, oh, shake his hand, Willie. I was like telling myself, do you come on, shake his hand. All right.
Did they get you on a film saying that? Shake his hand.
Right? No,
Now, have you seen him recently, or have you kept in touch with him at all?
Yeah, you know, we're friends, bro.
Yeah?
Yeah, no.
Did you guys talk about that?
No, I don't think we ever talked about it, bro. But I was always proud. Everybody was proud of him because he won.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Think about how much different your career might have been if you lost to that puppet. That might have been the end.
Yeah. Do you remember what type of puppet it was?
I don't remember. Like, I guess probably famous now. I don't know.
Why don't we go to search? We got to Google this thing.
Yeah, no. I never knew that either. You were on Star Search.
Bro, I was McMahon,
bro.
I was at the Apollo when I was a young comic. Yep. I got booed twice on the same night. That was crazy.
Hey, but that wakes you up real quick, though.
Oh, man, it was embarrassing, bro, because I used to go play basketball, and all the people I played basketball with saw me on TV, and they were, like, making me, like, boo. You know? Playing basketball, they were like, I would miss a shot. They're like, boo.
All right, so let's talk about it. What are some of the toughest rooms to play? Obviously, the Apollo is one is up there, right?
That was.
Is that the hardest ever?
Oh, bro, that's the way Sinbad brought me up. Sinbad, because TLC had just got a hit. Remember TLC?
Which one was the Scrubs or
no? Their first one, the one.
Ain't Too Proud to Beg.
Yeah, I think that's it. One of those, man. But he goes, I don't know if you know that they shoot 20 shows in one night, bro.
That I did not know,
bro. That audience is there from 10 o'clock in the morning to 1 o'clock at night.
Wow,
and they are tired, bro. And I remember Sinbad is like going, hey, because they know to put the biggest. Like, whoever's the biggest name at the time at the end, so they won't leave.
Correct.
So he goes, you guys ready for TLC? Right? And then they're like, yeah. Okay, but first we got a comedian. I'm like, man, bro. I go out there, and the minute I said hi, they said boo. And then, and then Sinbad brought me out again. And then give him another chance, guys. I came out, and they said boo again.
Dude, but see, that's part of earning your stripes, bro. How old were you at the time?
About 26, maybe, when I did the Apollo. But I had one good show. That was my second time. One time I killed on the Apollo. And I got cocky, man, because I killed. And then when I came back the second time, that's when they booed me twice. But I walked into the Apollo like, I got this. Anyways.
What about you, Byron? What's been some of the roughest ones you've experienced in your early? Because you're like a young comic, even though you're young, and your career is young as a comedian. What's been one of the roughest ones you've experienced so far?
It's one of El Paso, bro.
Was it last night, bro?
No.
Was it last year? Last year?
It's 6, 7, 8 months ago? We were here. What's that? September? Yeah. And it was a Thursday, and he ate the biggest chile, bro. Bro, it was a Thursday, and I was just watching them just you know? Man, no. So, and then I go on stage, bro, and I just made fun of him, right?
Hey, that guy's for like 20 minutes.
Hey, and then I go, where is he, man? I bet you he's hiding somewhere, right? Because I would be hiding if I had that set. And I go, where is he? And they go, he's right there.
They're all sitting in the bar, and they're all pointing at me.
Yeah.
They're laughing. That was tough.
But he redeemed himself, bro, because he couldn't wait to get back on stage on a Thursday.
Yeah.
So he did the show last night and crushed it, bro.
Awesome, bro.
Bang,
good for
bang,
you.
Bang.
Good for you.
I mean, I'm speaking for you, but that was that your roughest?
that was by far the worst. Yeah, it was a weird night that night too, man. It was tight. You know? The room was a little tight, and I just sucked. I crashed and burned. I hit the wall hard.
Oh, you just had a hard night. I drove straight
into the wall.
Yeah,
it was better the next couple of nights, but Vegas is really, you know, that's like.
He didn't see. There's a thing I do when you have a bad set. A lot of comedians want to delete it, forget about it.
Oh, never want to see it again. Never want to even think about it.
And I tell him, bro, you're gonna learn from that set. So it's painful because you got to relive that horrible night again. So, Cabrera, let's listen to your set. We play it. Stop. This is what you did. Boom, boom. Okay, play it again. Boom, boom. This is what you did. But he's got to hear the whole set again.
Do you guys record every show you do?
Yes. And what I like about working with Willie is, but look, man, you got to be willing to
take the criticism.
And maybe listen to him go up there and clown you for 20 minutes and destroy the room at your expense. Like, that's hard. You got to be able to suck that up. But what I like about it is it's a lot like in the military, you know, when you go into boot camp, they tear you down.
Yeah.
And then they build you back up. And so what Willie does is he tears you down, but if you're man enough to take it, he'll build you back up. And so he kept saying, we're going to watch that setback. I'm like, no, bro, I'm not going to watch that setback.
He didn't want to watch it, dude.
I'm like, no. And he's like, no, you got to do the work. Painstakingly, man. We didn't just watch it back. He's like, all right, stop it. Back it up. You see that? You see what you're doing there? You see? And so like the whole time, he's like, get your notepad out, man.
It's film study. So film
Miyagi.
Right there. It took, we went through that set for 2 hours on Friday at like noon, right? And then it's crazy. So they went off the scent the day after eating the big one.
Yeah.
The next day, I went up and killed had it. What was my best set ever at the time.
Wow.
And redeemed myself. Yeah. And they were the audience was sending shots up to me.
I think that's what people don't realize is that how much work you actually have to put in to be funny, to have a stage presence, to do what you got to do, to remember your set, to remember, I'm going to tell this joke here, but then at the end of the night, I'm going to piggyback it and then connect the dots, you know. Right. People don't realize that. You know, they just think, oh, he's going to get up there and start talking, be funny, funny, man. Yeah. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just, it's, when you have a guy like Willie in your corner, willing to, you know, be your coach, you'll just shut up and listen. You can learn a lot.
We got Willie Lombardi.
A lot of people quit, though, bro. A lot of people do quit. They can't take it.
Well, it's tough, bro. Yeah, I mean, think about. I mean, I always admire people that go up there and do things like that because you've got the fortitude or the balls to say to go up there and hey, I'm gonna try to be funny, and if you laugh, then you're gonna make me feel good. If not, then I'm gonna feel bad. But at least I'm going up there and trying. You know, at least like with you, I respect what you're doing. It's like I'm gonna go out there and try to be a comedian. And it's worked out so far, you know, except for COVID, you know, but still.
But if it would have been a repeat on Friday of the previous night, I probably would have just quit.
Yeah. No, I think you would have quit that day that he was messing with you and you said, you know, it's painful. But it's pretty. So what are the type of things that you like to hit upon? I don't have to ask Willie because I know exactly what he talks about on stage. But what are the type of things you like to kind of like as people like, you know, what he talked about? Religion, topics, like what are some
observations and life experiences, things that have happened, and you know, crazy shit happens to me all the time.
Do you talk on stage about what you used to do before, like how you used to be a radio guy?
You know, I haven't really tapped into much of that. I really haven't. Probably should. I think people.
I think that because the one thing that I've learned, also like when people do podcasts or shows, things of that nature, they always want to hear the stuff, the back. Stage stuff, you know, that's the stuff, the thing that gets into, because I had a lot of stories of this dude, you know, like the first day I met Willie, the very first day, and you can attest to this because you just saw it like 2 seconds ago. My job on the morning show, not only running the show, I had to like, when the comedians come, like I got to like do the little setup interview, like, hey, bro, what's going on? What do you want to talk about? Blah, 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 blah. The ones that suck, I'm going to tell you this right away, the ones that suck are the ones that say, nah, bro, I'm good. I'll do it. I'll come up with it on the air. Like, no, bro. You know, the ones that will tell you, like, the three topics you want to talk about, that means you're ready to go. Yeah. So I go to Willie, who looks like he had been up. They didn't even go to sleep, you know. And I was right. I was like,
it looked like this.
Yeah, something like that. So I go up to him, and he was, like, just slouched down. It looked like he was asleep. I was like, man, this guy's going to suck, bro. He's going to be, like, he's going to be a pain to work with. Because we have had people that were a pain to work with because they think even though they're doing the radio, it's helping them out, they think it's beneath them. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense. But some people are like that. I go up to him. I'm like, hey, bro, Armando, I need to know what stuff. And he's like, ah. And then he all of a sudden, from 1 second to the next, he snaps out of it. He's like, yeah, bro, we're talking about this, this, and this, bro, you know, like, you know. But then even the host of the show was kind of like, because he saw him on the and at the hallway, he was like, I don't know, I'm going to keep this guy. Like, and I was like, no, man, this guy's good. He's good. He just, like, once he gets in there, he's going to step into it. And he was. And he did, you know. And now, like, that's the history. That's our very first meeting is me and Willie, you know. But I thought I was going to be, I thought I was going to go down south, but nah.
That was 20 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Is bro, he had the wind.
Just described this morning.
Hey, he's got that Windows power up thing. Remember the little thing?
Yeah. Oh, he doesn't change at all. Yeah. Hey, bro, are you happy your Dodgers won the series last year?
Yeah, man. I'm happy. My Dodgers are doing good. And there's a tight race right now with the Padres and the Giants. I love baseball. You know that, bro.
Well, it's too bad Chihuahua's out of town, bro. We'd go to a game.
Man, I love that.
And they just played the Dodgers, too, so.
They did? Yeah.
Last week, they played the Oklahoma City Dodgers.
Yeah. The stadium here, bro, is probably one of the best AAA stadiums in the country.
Literally down the street.
It is bad. I was here. My boy Marky Mark had a hot dog there. I mean, it felt.
Big time, right?
It felt badass, bro. And I was out in left field. I just wanted to check it out, like, And it was just, you still feel that you're on top of the game, even though you're that far, you know?
Every seat's a good seat.
Every seat's a good seat, man.
Byron, are you a sports guy or no?
I like his shirt. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean,
I just noticed that.
I was a big time football fan for, you know, I was a Steelers fan, or still am, I guess, but I'm mildly into football now. I just feel like it's not the game I grew up with, and they've just really, it's just.
Don't touch them.
No, that's basketball, dude. That's all basketball is.
Yeah,
now.
But I mean, with football, though, too, it's like you can't hit, you know, it's like when I
you
was
can't
a
touch
kid,
the quarterback.
Football was gladiator shit.
You can do a clothesline.
Every play, they were trying to put your ass in the ice cream truck.
Correct.
Yeah, Mel
every play.
Try to go across
now,
the middle.
You get banned from the league if you hit somebody the wrong way too many times. And, like,
the way you tackle them and stuff,
yeah,
you know.
You can't hit the quarterback. It's just they don't know what a catch is. Every year it changes. This is a catch this year. It's not a catch next year. I'm done, man. I hardly watch football at all, and it breaks my heart because I used to love it so much. Baseball, I'll turn on if I need to take a nap.
Now, remember, for football, Aaron got fined $15,000 or something for waving when he was about to score against the Cowboys.
Yeah, we're talking about Aaron Jones. He's from El Paso.
You get a $15,000 fine for a wave?
Hey, and it was against the Cowboys, too. I remember that.
Get your Cowboys.
You know what I was amazed about? I don't follow football, but I was amazed about El Paso's the college team.
UTEP?
Yeah, like I was here last year. And like,
which on the sideline
report.
What's
the record of UTEP? Oh, bro, they haven't won a game in 3 years.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Bro, and I was on the sidelines for that. I'm the sideline reporter for the football team.
We're on the, in the stands, too.
Yeah.
Why do they have such –
I'll be honest with you, dude. If I can be frank and honest, it just comes down to
recruiting, right?
And the talent that they've got too. But like, I mean, when UTEP historically has had bad teams, and they've had a couple of good players, because we just talk about Aaron Jones, who's signed that massive contract with the Green Bay Packers. You got a guy like Will Hernandez, who's one of the starting guys for the New York Giants. So they got some talent. It's hard when to compete with some of these other schools, but it's rough, bro. And this is a true story. Right. When I'm on the sidelines, you know, because like I said, I work for the team. Like I'm the what do you call me?
He's the Mexican Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Andrews. That's what I do for the football team.
He ain't good looking, but he's on the sideline.
Dude, at halftime, I gotta talk to the coach, right? You know, and I'm like, so I'm always like, please, something positive happen. Please, something positive happen, because. Like, hey, coach, what does it feel like losing by 30 points at halftime?
Oh,
you know, like,
damn,
every game, like, ta cabrón, bro, you know?
Bro,
you know?
It
has been
a straight face. Like.
Yeah. You know? But you got to say it in a way where it doesn't sound offensive.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, so, but it has been tough. But I will tell you, last year, as it was, they won like maybe four or five games. So they're in a come up. Yes, Byron. Look at Byron. Look at Byron. It's on a come up, bro.
They won four games.
Well, they went 2 years, but they didn't win any games.
How many games?
They went 2 years without winning.
Like, literally,
game.
Yeah, two there. Like,
is this for real?
Yeah.
That's how I was when they won 2 years without a single win.
No, I think they won. No, they won one game in those 2 years.
It was like a 2 year streak. Of like nothing, like we had the longest.
No, they won one game because they beat Rice.
They're doing it on purpose. Like, let's see.
but I'll give them this: they were in some of the games, just a couple plays, swing here and there, and I mean, you lose by a field goal, miss three field goals,
and it becomes a thing where they don't know how to win.
Right.
When they have a lead, can we keep this lead? Can we sustain it? You know, and that's one thing. Of course, a different coach came in, so he's trying to change that. You know, but I think it's that mentality too, trying to win, kind of like. How Willie is showing you how to do stuff. Like, they got to literally learn how to win a game.
They needed to be teared down and brought back up.
How do you even put your uniform on towards the end of year two of not winning a game, man?
It's rough. I'll tell you what, these guys are trying. These
Good
kids are trying,
trying,
man. You know?
I would have been like, man, I'm sick again.
Yeah.
We had the record for the longest losing streak at one point.
Yeah, at least you had
like,
a record.
But this is true for 2 years in a row. They were the last, when the rankings come out, like it's like 128, 130, or whatever, they were dead last, bro.
Wow,
straight
bro.
Up. You know, like when the top 10 comes up.
Did they fire the coach?
Yeah, the new coach came in. Like, this is going to be his third year.
Is he the one that won the four games?
Yes, this is new one. Wow. We'll see, bro. So, yeah.
They're getting there.
So, yeah. So, once again, remind us, bro, like how many shows you doing?
We're doing two shows tonight, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock. At the comic strip, and tomorrow two shows, same time. Sunday is our, you know, Bon Voyage show. I think it's at 7.
You have social media? Plug that in, bro.
Yeah. Willie Barcena, just hit me up on Facebook, Instagram. It's that easy, at Willie Barcena.
What about you, Byron?
I have, you know, I've never had Facebook. I'm trying to get that.
No, but you have Instagram, you have TikTok.
Yeah, I have Instagram.
Oh, he's TikTok.
You have TikTok.
You're doing the dance?
Yeah, I do all the dances.
Well, let me be honest with you. You have a great look to be a comedian right now. Yes, yeah, or no? You do. Looking. You've got a great look. Not that I'm saying you look funny, bro, but we do.
You got a beautiful nose.
Yeah, bro. Your nose is like, I just love it, bro. I wish I had the same one. Man, no, I'm just saying I'm just saying that he stands out, which is good. Yeah, you stand out, bro.
Yeah,
you know, like, you know, you look like the professor from Back to the Future. I'm sure you've heard that before.
He had the hair that you had.
I'm sure you've heard that.
I think it definitely helps, obviously. Yeah. You want to, like, don't want to look and sound like everybody else. So, yeah.
Like, when I look at you on stage, like, yeah, this dude looks funny already, you know. And that helps, right?
Yeah, no, this dude, he's unique, man.
Well, I look forward to it. So, once again, do you have social media?
Byron Kennedy Comedy is my IG. That's pretty much where I live.
I just think that's like some things coming up, you didn't have to worry about that, but now you do but in a way, that's free publicity though.
I got to get better at it. I got to get better at it, man. I'm slacking a little bit.
Right. Yeah, me too.
Podcast? No, not yet.
No, not yet.
I'm going to talk to you about that afterwards, bro. I'm going to yell at you at that afterwards.
I need to get
Wim and I might do one.
Yeah.
Well, you should. I mean, I'm telling you.
We have a million stories between radio and now comedy.
And that's why I've been telling them for years. You know, somebody else is supposed to set it up for them. Stuff like, I'm just going to have to go to your house, bro, and do it for you.
Hey, two couches right there with your blankets. Y'all just laying down chatting.
Because like I said, the one thing people are interested is in all the backstage stuff. Like the stories, like when you're on the road, things of that nature, you know, like. I keep it going, but we're already, like, at the limit right now. Yeah. But it's stuff like that, the people, your experience and all the stuff, the corporate world and, you know, then Willie, other people you've met, things of that nature, they would gravitate to that. So podcast.
We'll be on it.
All right.
Thank you for having us, bro.
You got it, bro. Yeah, nothing but love, Willie. Yeah, love you, bro. You know that stuff. Byron, it was an honor to meet you, bro.
Hey, man.
You know,
likewise.
You got it.
Thank you so much.
Love the shirt. Mondo's still in mourning because his Lakers just lost.
Bro. See, but I'm the type of guy, I don't get upset. You know what pisses me off? See, why do you do that, bro? Like, we're about to end. I was about to end it. And you got to throw something like that that's going to, like, get me wound up. You know the people that I hate? The people that, like, right away, like the team, because they're jealous of LeBron and all the stuff that he done. Oh, no, LeBron flops. Not you, bro, because he sent me a message last night. Yeah. You know, but not you. I'm talking about like, but then right away on social media, the Lakers lost, whatever. Like, bro, like that's going to piss me off. No, man. It's just like, dude, like you think he cares? No, he's laughing. He's like sleep rolling, Ron, and all the millions he has, bro. Yeah. He doesn't care about
it. The picture was cool because it's the one from Black Panther. And says, this is your king. And then it has LeBron on the floor.
Like he's flopping, bro. Hey, but they got injured, bro. It's part of the thing, you know? I mean, it is what it is, bro.
I used to be a basketball fan, man, years ago, bro. I could tell you everybody who was in Boston. I could tell you the team from Portland. I could tell you. You know,
this is mid-90s he's talking about, you know.
I could tell you the Lakers, I could tell you the bench. But now I don't get it.
It is what it is.
But we appreciate you guys
coming. Thanks for coming here.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, bro.